It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome everyone out in Radio Land. I'm George Williams, your host, and this is the George Williams Show. Our telephone number here is 251-343-0106. All right, folks, busy week this past week. Folks, you know, Chris, a good guy. I met him at the Republican convention in Milwaukee, and he's such a pleasant person to talk to, and I really, you know, my condolences to his family, and we had a great loss. We have a great loss. And then not next week, but the week after that, we're going to do a whole segment. A couple people have asked me to do it, and we're going to do it, and I have several guests who are going to be talking about that. Okay? All right, folks. We have a guest in our studio, and his name is Representative Matt Simpson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing good, George. Thank you for having me back on.
Great. Tell our audience something about Matt Simpson. I mean, I know, but I want our audience to know.
You know, I want our audience to know is how far back we go.
Yes.
I remember when you started the show.
Right.
I remember calling in, and right. I remember coming to the studio. I mean, right. This is years ago when you were doing this show.
Correct.
George, you have been an incredible influence in my life. When I first started getting involved with the Republican Party, when I was not with the party down here in Baldwin County is what I'll say, because I was involved with the party when I was in college and everything. But when I got down to Baldwin County and got involved with the Republican Party 20 years ago.
Yeah,
20 years ago.
That's right.
You took me under your wing very early. You know, there was several of us that were around the same age that you brought in, and you said, hey, let's get you guys involved. Let's look for that next generation to come in and put a step forward.
Right.
And you saw something in me, and you've helped me along the way, every step of the way.
Right.
For whatever office I was running for, help with the party.
Yes.
George, I don't think you know how big of an influence you are on my life and my career. Right. And I'm very grateful for every chance and every opportunity I get to come talk to you. So I'm looking forward to tonight.
All right. And I'm so proud of you and a couple more of our colleagues who are your age. And I tell you, folks, I'm so proud of them. And they're all have moved up and in a very positive way, a very positive way. Now, Matt, you're a state representative.
And
what district is that?
I represent District 96 in Alabama House of Representatives. That's Daphne, Spanish Fort, a little bit of Montrose, a little bit, kind of up towards, a little bit north of Spanish Fort, a little bit south of Daphne.
Right. And your full-time job is what?
My other job is I'm also a prosecutor
with
the DA's office in Mobile helping prosecute. I'm currently assigned to the murder team to help prosecute a few murders while we're not in legislative session. So when we're in half the year, I'm in Montgomery doing things, and I'm half the year down here prosecuting cases.
Right. Now, Matt, what are some of the bills that you sponsored? Now, don't talk about the one we're going to talk about tonight, okay? But before that.
So I've kind of focused my legislative career and what I've done, and I've focused on what I know, and that's generally public safety.
Right.
So, you know, some of the big bills that I've sponsored was in 2023, I sponsored the bill that was the first bill passed that increased the mandatory minimums on fentanyl.
Right.
People that were trafficking fentanyl. Had some bills to increase the punishment on sexual abuse on offenders that commit sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Increase the punishment on people that are running around with stolen guns.
Mm-hmm.
Also created a mental health court in Baldwin County that's doing really well and really flourishing, and that's great to see. That's one of the things I'm most proud of, is helping to create a mental health court and get the funding down there for that. Gosh, I first got elected in 2018, so starting to go back on all the things that I've done since then. you know, just I've kind of focused on that public safety method of trying to do what we can to get the message across the board that, you know, Alabama doesn't take what these other states take.
Right.
We're not going to put up with that.
That's for sure.
You're going to have to answer. There's going to be some consequences to their actions in Alabama.
Right. Now, your boss, Mr. Blackman, has been our guest quite a few times.
Keith Blackwood, he's awesome. He's a great friend of mine.
And I called him Little Giuliani, okay? Because when I first joined the DEA in the New York office, our U.S. attorney was Rudolph Giuliani, okay? Mm-hmm. He didn't take no crap, and he backed us, you know. And we had some good cases in New York City. And I see the same thing here in Mobile.
Mm-hmm. Keith is fantastic. Keith and I go way back. I started working. So I worked at the Baldwin DA's office from 2006 to 2011, the beginning of 2011. I came over here under Ashley Rich. Mm-hmm. And I worked with Keith from 2011 to 2017, I went back to the Baldwin DA's office. Mm-hmm. But Keith and I have been very good friends. Keith and his wife, Tandis, you know, to seeing their family grow, went to his wedding. Keith is just an incredible, first off, he's an incredible guy.
Right.
You know, he cares about his family, cares about his wife, cares about his kids. Second off, he's an incredible friend. Mm-hmm. Third, he's an incredible prosecutor.
Right.
He's one of those that he knows what he's doing.
Right.
He's very, very aggressive with what he's trying to do to try to protect the people of Mobile County. And it's an honor to be able to go to work with Keith.
Right, right. And as a result of that, folks, Keith select folks who to work for him who are like him, aggressive and have guts and not afraid.
That's it. You know, you've got to be ready to go to trial. You've got to be ready to do the right thing for the citizens. It's not a we don't do things halfway there. You get in, you make the decision, and you go through. I tell you, not a lot of people know this. Keith's in the middle of a capital murder trial right now. For like, it's going to go on for, I think, 3 weeks of capital murder trial. So he's not somebody that just sits by in the ivory tower and he then just sits in his office and hides out.
Right.
Keith's trying cases. So he's awesome.
Right, right. What else have you been doing, you know, since the legislature is over for this year? And what have you been doing to prepare for next year's?
I'm working on some bills. Okay. I know you want to talk about that. Yeah. We may catch that in the next session, or you want to talk about those now?
No, we'll talk about them during the next session.
We'll talk about the next session.
Yeah.
You know, part of the things, one of the things that I really am deliberate about is when I'm home, I want to be home for my kids.
Right.
I've got a son that's 17, is in senior year. It's my last year with him. He's about to turn 18 next month.
I remember when they were crawling around.
You remember when they were born? I had to take him to all these meetings.
Right.
You know, being there and being around him, I've got 1 year left with him under the house.
Right.
So I want to be deliberate and be around with him. My daughter just turned 13. Right. So being there for her, going to her baton competitions and being around and doing the best I can and being just, you know, being a father and a husband.
Right.
When I'm not working at the DA's office or working in the legislature, I want to be there. You know, my wife is my best friend.
Right.
And I enjoy spending time with her.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I'm so happy about is we just enjoy hanging out with each other. If it's just her and I versus the world, we're okay.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's a nice place to be.
All right. And she's also involved in an NGO. What is that?
She is. She is the executive director for the United Way for Baldwin County. Okay. She's been doing that for about 11 years.
Wow.
She came from a banking background and a marketing background. And she had an opportunity when Rebecca Byrne, who used to be the chair of the executive director of the United Way, Rebecca moved on to the Community Foundation about 11 years ago. And Rebecca reached out to Marina and said, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And she took the ground and, you know, big shoes to fill in.
Right.
And I couldn't be prouder of all the work she's done for the community.
Great. Yeah. What a lovely lady she is. Okay,
she is much above my level. I outkick my coverage on that one for sure.
Right. All right, folks. We're talking to Matt Simpson, and he's a state representative, and he's a prosecutor in the Mobile Prosecutor's Office. And after this break, we're gonna be continuing our conversation with him, and we're gonna be talking about something very important that he is working on for the upcoming Alabama legislature's meetings that they're going to be having. Okay, so folks, stand by. We're just beginning with Matt Simpson. He's wearing two hats, state legislature and assistant prosecutor. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. This is the George Williams Show, and we are on a mission. And tonight, we are talking to Matt Simpson, and that is a state legislator and a prosecutor in the Mobile County Prosecutor's Office. Now, folks, I'm proud of Matt. He knows that for the last 20 years. But this bill that he is working on for the upcoming legislative session is something that is going to really help Alabamians out, and maybe it'll take effect in other states too. Matt, welcome back.
Happy to be here. Thank you. And that's exactly the plan we're trying to do, is not just affect Alabamians, but everywhere throughout the country. So So what we had and what's going on is, in 2008, the United States Supreme Court, in the case of Kennedy versus Louisiana.
Okay.
So the Supreme Court in this case ruled that you could not have the death penalty for child rapists.
Mm-hmm.
The rationale and the basis for that reasoning was that they said that there were not enough states that did it. At that time, there were only 5 states that had the death penalty for that charge. So they said because there were only 5 states, it was unusual punishment of the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment. They said it was unusual, and because it was unusual and these evolving standards of decency, that they've ruled that it was unconstitutional for the death penalty in child rape, in cases of child rape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2023, Ron DeSantis, when he was governor of Florida, he's still governor of Florida, but he passed a bill, and the intention of that is to challenge this rationale. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, well, if it's unusual, if you're going to say it's unusual because only 5 states do it, well, then let's make it not unusual. Let's get more states, because if we get more states on board and in line to do this, then we can say it's not unusual anymore, so that's reevaluate your decision.
Mm-hmm.
So Florida passed a bill in 2023 to make where the death penalty was eligible for child rape if someone commits the offense of child rape or sodomy. Mm-hmm. In 2024, Tennessee passed it. And then in 2025, so already this year, Idaho, Oklahoma, and Arkansas have passed it.
Wow.
So we've already had 5 states pass it. My goal is to try to get Alabama on that list and kind of start to turn that narrative around and say, hey, it's not unusual anymore.
Right.
What's going to have to happen is somebody is going to have to be convicted of this offense and challenge it to the Supreme Court and say, hey, it's unconstitutional, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2008, it was a 5-4 decision. Chief Justice Roberts sided with the conservatives that time and lost 5-4. It's a different court now. After President Trump has the appointments that he has, it's a completely different court now. And I think the rationale was wrong. I think the Supreme Court got it wrong. I think when they've tried to bring these evolving standards around, I don't think that's what the Constitution is about.
Right.
I think, you know, I just think they're wrong. And I think there's a movement across this country to where we can punish the people that actually commit this offense.
Mm-hmm.
I had the privilege of being in the White House back in July, and we were up in the White House, and they talking to people, the Trump administration, and they mentioned to us and said, hey, we're watching this bill. We've seen this bill, because I filed it last year in 2024. The 2025 session. I filed it last year, and they said, why didn't this bill pass? This bill needs to pass. Unfortunately, we got we had a very bad incident in Bibb County where right. there were several children. I can't even talk about the details of okay. this. It, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. I prosecuted child sex cases right. when I was in Baldwin County as a prosecutor for 6 years. This was my specialty right. of what I've done. And some of the horrible things that you see, how these people were treated, how these children were treated. The death penalty is the worst of the worst punishments, and it should be used when people commit the worst of the worst crimes.
Right.
And that's what these guys are – that's what these people did in Bibb County. They committed the worst of the worst
right.
crimes.
Right.
Unfortunately, we cannot issue the death penalty on them because it happened – because the bill didn't pass last
right.
session.
Right.
But we're hopeful that we can pass it in 2026, this next session. And if we can, then – the next group that does something like this, because there's always somebody else around the corner. It's always something else like this going on. When we catch someone, we can actually hold them accountable for what they've done.
All right. How many states do you need to pass that law?
That's what we don't know. That's the magic question. You know, I think what we want to do is we want to give, you know, if it's Tennessee, if it's Florida, if it's any of those other states, when they get that first conviction, or if it's Alabama that gets that first conviction that can be challenged up to the Supreme Court, we want the people to be able to argue and say it's not just Florida, it's not just Tennessee, it's mm-hmm. all of these other states that have come on board, so it's no longer unusual. So change your mind or overrule. You know,
right.
the Supreme Court's made some bad decisions in the past. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with getting them to overturn and correct a problem. And or correct an error, if you will. And I think that's what the goal is to try to do this time.
Right. What about the Democrats? Do you have some of them, looking favorably on this proposed?
Quietly behind the scenes, yeah. I've had several of them come to me and say, hey, we need to do this.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people that are just opposed to the death penalty in general.
Right. Yes.
And you know, it's not about these type of offenses. They're just opposed to the use of the death penalty as it is.
Right.
There were some rumblings and some – that's probably what caused it to hold up last time
right.
in the Senate. But at some point, you just got to bear down and do the right thing and say, hey, you can be opposed to it, but I think the majority of the people of the state of Alabama and I think the majority of the people want this bill to pass. And so,
right.
you know, we've had great feedback. Attorney General Steve Marshall has been very supportive of this bill. The governor's office has come out and supported this bill
right.
and said it's going a priority of hers.
Right.
I think it's going to be a big priority of hers. She was down speaking in Baldwin County not long ago, and she mentioned this bill as being a big priority of hers. The Speaker of the House has been a supportive of it from day one this year. You know, it passed right. the House. I want to say it was like 83-9 or something
wow.
like that. Something okay. or 73-9. It was a very, very good very good numbers when it passed the House in 2025. We've also had pro tem of the Senate Garland Gudger,
right.
who's spoken very positive of it. April Weaver is going to carry it in the Senate.
Yeah,
she's April. April's
know, right?
great. She's
yeah.
she's a pistol, man. She is fired up
Pam
about this.
Bondi,
yes,
know, don't fool with it.
And Bibb County is in her district, so
yeah,
this happened
yeah.
in her district.
Yeah.
So after what happened in Bibb County, she called me and said, Matt, what can we do to get this bill? What we need to get this across the finish line. And
right.
I said, hey, if you're on board, if you're ready to go, it's great. And so
right.
her and I are working together. I really think the world of Senator Weaver. I've known her when she was in the House. I knew
right.
her before with the Republican Party involvement.
Yeah.
So I feel really good about where we're headed through this process.
Okay. Great, great. Now, folks, Matt gave you a little rundown on some of the other bills that he has passed and that he has sponsored and were passed as a result of some of those bills you've passed. You've been recognized by the party and people from all different states.
You know? Yeah. You know, it's you don't do what you do for the recognition, but it's nice.
Right.
You
nice.
Know, it's
yeah.
So there's a lot of legislative groups I'm a part of to go to, and it's nice. The party has supported some
right.
of the events that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's several groups that are supportive of the conservative agenda,
right.
and they've mentioned some of these things as it goes along. So it's a movement to try to take our country back,
right.
to try to put common sense back in, to say, wait, if you rape or sodomize a child, you're not eligible. You're not going to be rehabilitated.
True.
That's not something
That's
where
true.
You come back around and you say, oh, I'm fixed now. I've had some counseling,
okay.
or oh, I've sat in jail for 20 years, and all of a sudden I'm ready to get out. No. those people are not going to be able to be rehabilitated. It's to send a message to the community that this is not acceptable.
Right.
This is not something that we think is appropriate. It's not something that's going to be permitted. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that you can recover from. So right. If you commit this offense, if you harm one of the children, if you go after the weakest of individuals and go after a child and take their innocence and commit these atrocious acts upon them, you're going to have to answer. You're going to have to answer to that for what you've done. And hopefully that comes behind them on the business end of a needle.
True. Now, I've heard quite a few prosecutors in other counties talk about, and they're really in support, and the sheriff's association. I was talking to Sheriff Mack, and he thinks it's a great idea. So you have in state, you have a lot of support.
I do. Prosecutors and law enforcement, we stick together. We kind of know through this stuff. And it's not something that we're doing just to say, hey, I did it.
Right.
It's something that we're doing because there's a purpose behind it.
Right.
There's a reason to try to do this. There's a thought process to say, now's the time to make this change.
Right.
Now's the time to use this silver bullet, if you will, to change the way the U.S. Supreme Court's decision has been made.
Right.
And you know, it's working together with other states.
It's
that's the job. It's great to come together and try to find a cause and a reason and going after the people that hurt the worst of the worst offenses. That's what we're going to do.
Right. Now, Matt, we've got a couple more minutes and we're going to ask you to stick around.
Hey, I'll stay as long as you be careful, George. I'll stay around as long as you want me to.
I want to ask you this question. Well, don't answer this question until after the next break.
Okay.
But if you were the prosecuting this young man for the shooting, Charles, how would you proceed with that? Because, you know, it's mind-boggling.
I've got an answer for you, and we're going to come back after commercial break because I've got a good answer for you
on this,
George. All right,
that's what we want to know. Folks, we're talking with Matt Simpson. He's a personal friend of mine in Baldwin County, Mobile County, in the state legislature. I mean, everybody knows the name Matt Simpson, and I'm proud of him because I took him under my wing and two other individuals who's his age, and they've done quite well. One is a state senator and one is a judge, okay, in Baldwin County. And I'm so proud of him, so proud of him. And just like my sons, I'm telling you. And Matt knows that.
I do know that.
Matt
You've said
knows
that often.
That. All right. We'll be back with Matt Simpson after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We are on a mission. We're talking to Matt Simpson, who's currently wearing two hats, and we're so glad to have him back in our studios here. Matt, welcome back.
Happy to be back. I've been thinking about your question, George. I've been sitting on it waiting for your question. One of the things that working in Mobile and seeing some of the things that I've seen, we had an incident here in Mobile this summer where unfortunately there was a shooting in the Sanger Theater. The Sanger Theater where argument, and I know there was an issue where an argument broke out and someone fired a gun and killed another person in the Sanger Theater.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a number of increase of public shootings, whether it be the shooting in Mobile at the Moon Pie Drop a few years ago, whether it be a shooting at Mayday Park in Bay Minette.
Right.
You know, so what happened? I got a call from Hoss Mack, who is the executive director of the Sheriff's Association,
right,
and said, we want to do something about these public shootings, these people that are putting a lot of people at risk by killing someone.
Right. That's also shooting into a home or shooting into a car with people in it.
Well, see, that's kind of what we're talking about, some of this stuff. Okay. So what it has is we filed a bill, and we had a press conference about it a few months ago, where Keith Blackwood and Sheriff Mack and Anthony Lowry and Paul Birch and a number of people came down. And we filed a bill. It's already been filed. It's HB 20. And in that bill, whereas if you kill someone and you put a number of people at risk, then you could be charged with capital murder.
Right.
Because it's not just what's happened locally. It's you look at what happened in New Orleans when they had that shooting in New Orleans where because they only killed one person that we couldn't charge them with capital murder in New Orleans.
Right.
You look at what happened with the protest, with what was going on with the group in Colorado, with the Jewish when the Jewish group was there, and the guy comes in and throws a Molotov cocktail in the middle of that group and kills someone. Under Alabama law, we couldn't charge that person with capital murder. Unfortunately, when you talk about Charlie Kirk, I'm such a big fan of Charlie Kirk.
Right.
You know, in my reading and my interpretation of the law, I don't know that we'd be able to charge the person with capital murder because it was only one person that was killed. So I've got a bill, HB 20, where that would change, where if you put a number of people at risk, if you put multiple people at risk for their life and you kill someone, you can be charged with capital murder under that. The Sheriff's Association is fully behind this bill. They're the ones that brought it through. So you look at, and unfortunately, it takes these instances for people to be talking about. I mean, it's sad that we were thinking, you know, the governor of Utah comes out and says, I'm going to request the death penalty. And the prosecutors had the press conference today, and they're saying they're requesting the death penalty. I don't know if they could do that in Alabama, if they could get the death penalty for that. So this would change that. This would allow people to get the death penalty for it through this process. You know, it wasn't about Charlie Kirk. It was about other things that we have seen.
Right.
But as this went on, it became, and you see what happened to Charlie, we want to make sure that that's covered through here. You know, I'm such a big fan of Charlie Kirk, and you talk about seeing him and talking to him in Milwaukee. He came to Tuscaloosa, I guess it was 2018, and I had a chance to talk to him when he spoke to the Republican Party event when we had a dinner in Tuscaloosa, him and Candace Owens. You know, I keep up with his, you know, I listen to his podcast almost daily. So I've listened to Charlie Kirk talk for hundreds of hours. And the way that he communicated, the way that he got the message across with facts, and he wasn't trying to attack anyone. He was just, he was steadfast in his belief. He believed what he believed. He believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he spread the gospel. He was a conservative, and he spread his beliefs on a conservative, and he was able to take that message to the youth, to like you did 20 years ago when you see the young people and say, hey, we've got to be able to get our message out there to people that are younger to show them this is the right way. We're losing that youth vote. And Charlie was so instrumental in getting that youth vote to turn out for President Trump in last year, 2024,
very important.
That election. And I think that won the election.
That's right.
That swung the votes to come through this. You know, it's a shame that he was killed because he was just expressing his beliefs and his opinions. And someone didn't like him and didn't like his opinions and killed him because of it. And that's just wrong.
Yeah, it's definitely, definitely wrong. How, what kind of feedback are you getting from this bill also?
Very positive from the Sheriff's Association. Very positive from some prosecutors. I've had some prosecutors in the Mobile DA's office, some prosecutors from other offices as well that have looked into it. I had a conversation with General Marshall this week already about it, just to kind of touch base and, hey, this is what's coming. This is what we're trying to do. This is this is what we're addressing. We want to, you know, it starts off as one thing, but just because it starts off as one thing, you want to make sure you're encompassing multiple things and can cover, you know, all of these instances that we're trying to get to, the reason and the rationale behind it. So, you know, I'm optimistic as well. We'll see. It doesn't have quite the momentum as that other bill, but, you know, the White House hadn't talked about that one. But, you know, I feel good. And you know, look, I'm a fighter. I'm going to go up there and get my message across. I'm going to go up there and try to spread the message the best I can.
Now, as you know, we're going to have a new governor next year sometime. And I know you've been with the current governor, mm-hmm. you know. So how is your relationship now with the new incoming governor? Because believe me, there's no way, in my opinion, that he is not going to be our new next governor.
100%. I believe Pat right? Stubberville is going to be our governor. He was in Tuscaloosa Saturday at the right. football game.
Right.
So I saw him Saturday, and we had a good chance to talk for a little bit. You know, I'm excited about what Coach Stubberville is going to bring to the table for the state of Alabama. You know, Governor Ivey's done a great job. So this is not in any way saying that there's – but sometimes you just need new blood.
Right.
That's the basis of our government. Sometimes you bring a fresh set of eyes, a fresh set of ideas. I think Coach Stubberville is going to bring some of what he's seen from President Trump and that Washington style
right.
of trying to bring that down and change – how government it functions. You know, we're going to try to be more people-oriented
right.
and less, you know, I am such a big fan of the bottom-up style of government.
Right.
I think the best ideas come from locals. I think mm-hmm. the best ideas, you know, the best way I tell people all the time is I think we need more of Baldwin County in Montgomery and less
yeah.
of Montgomery in Baldwin County.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that seems to be a lot of what he's talked about, a lot of what he's doing. Some of this stuff is going to change our state for the better for years to come. When you start talking about some of the tax, you know, some of the tax cuts we're talking
right,
about, how
yeah.
do we change some of this, how we get rid of some of the fluff and some of the pork, and how do we get that money back to the people and back
right.
in their pockets?
Right.
You know, we have a very similar philosophy on just because that money doesn't come directly from taxes it this way doesn't mean that we're going to be hurt as a state. It just means that we have to go different ways to try to find the right solution and
right.
not just rely on the way things have always been.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Coach Stubberville has a great relationship with Speaker Ledbetter in the House. I think he's got wonderful friends and he's got some tremendous staff that I've had a chance to talk to and I think that he's going to bring down. So I'm really looking forward to what the future holds coming in and the opportunity to serve. You know, I got to run again and I'm up for re-election too. So hopefully I can win this race. I feel good about where I stand in this race.
All right.
But the opportunity to come in and serve with Coach Stubberville and see, you know, you got a new governor not only a new governor, George, but you know this, we got a new governor.
Right.
We'll have a new lieutenant governor.
Right.
We'll have a new secretary of state.
Right.
We'll have a new attorney general.
Right. Yeah.
We'll have a new state auditor.
That's right.
We'll have a new
agriculture. Yeah.
We're completely wiping the slate clean on all these constitutional offices.
Right.
So it's an exciting time that we haven't had something like this since 2010,
a long time,
where we've
right.
had. We've had just this complete turnover through. I
right.
mean, you look even more. We've got a new U.S. senator coming
That's
in.
That's true.
We'll have a new congressperson from down here
That's true.
Coming in. So 2026, this election cycle
That's
is – it's hold on to your seats. Buckle up, everybody, because it's going to be – people are going to be coming to you, George, knocking down your door saying, how do I get on the radio
right.
at
That's
7
right.
o'clock on Tuesday night
That's right.
to get the message out?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, you know, because we've got some good people running. And we were talking about, you know, Senator Tuberville. One good thing about him, and he and I have talked quite a few times, he's got guts.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, and you need guts, okay?
Absolutely.
Just like President Trump. He's mm-hmm. got guts. What he says he means, what he means he's going to do.
He, okay. you know, he's not doing this, similar to Trump, he's not doing this to try to better himself.
No.
He's doing it. He could go on the lake somewhere. He could stay in Washington for as long as he wants.
Right.
I think I'm kind of looking back at the history. He's one of the, I think if you look at the history of it, I think he's the most popular Republican in Alabama history.
That's true.
True. And so as you go through it, like he could stay in D.C. forever if he wanted.
That's right.
He's not doing that. He could have retired and gone to, you know, stayed
right.
wherever.
Right.
And he's not. He wants to change the state for the state of Alabama and make it better and make an impact and leave Alabama better than he found it. And that's something I'm excited about.
Well, you said something earlier about in Alabama, we don't put up with that junk. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that is so important. We don't put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama does not put up with it. And the good thing about that, Matt, is that brings more people into Alabama. Look at Baldwin County. When I first started, got here in 2006, We only had about 95,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I was told the other day, we have over 300,000 mm-hmm. and growing.
Mm-hmm.
And growing. Mm-hmm. But the good thing I like about Baldwin County is the legislatures, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We know where their minds are, where they're coming from, and all they want to do is good.
Right.
Good.
We're just, it's an honor to serve with these people that are there. Not for, again, they're not trying to better themselves. They're not doing this so that way they can, you know, get a free meal, and they're not doing this so that way they can get their name on a building. Or they're doing this to try to make the state better. They're doing this to make our area better, to make Baldwin County better, to make our state as a whole better. And that's, it's such a pleasure to serve with this group.
Yeah, and that's very, very, very important. Matt, what about potential offices? folks, Matt and I talk like a father's son, okay? And I can tell you that. And because I want him to keep moving up, folks, up, okay? We need young folks like Matt, okay? And Alabama needs them. And I just, you know, whatever his endeavors are, he knows that I'm going to support him. 1,000%, folks. 1,000%. So, I don't want to get too deep into Matt. Where are you going to be 5 years from now? I really don't. But whatever his endeavors are, we're gonna be right there.
I appreciate it. That means more than you know. Look, yeah. I'm getting the finger that we're about to go to commercial breaks. So I'm literally saved by the bell here for a second.
We're gonna carry Matt over, okay? Because folks, believe me, it's so important that we get someone, okay, who has started in this arena, you know, when he was in college. And then when he got out of college, law school, and folks, he was one of the youngest county chairmen we had in the Republican Party. He was our county chairman for how many years, Matt?
I was chair for 4 years, from 2011 to 2011 to 2015.
Right.
I was 30 years old when I became the chair. I was about to turn 31, but I was 30, and I was one of the youngest throughout the state. I don't think there's been very many younger have gone through that. So it's been a fun run.
All right, folks, we'll be back after these messages with State Representative and Prosecutor Matt Simpson. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We are on a mission. Our number here is 251-343-0106. If you have a question for Matt Simpson, just give us a call. Give us a call or send us a text, either one. Folks, you know, we have, because of Charlie Crist and a few other younger Republicans out there, college Republicans, we have a lot of good Republicans coming up, just like Matt did, you know? And Matt, what are you doing in that arena?
I am excited to try to see what we can do. Baldwin County Young Republicans are getting started back up again.
Okay.
You know, before I was chair of the county party, I was chair of the Young Republicans down here. George used to come to all of our meetings. It would be three of us sitting around in a circle, and George was there to show us the way. You know, I'm excited about seeing some of the people that I came up with in the Young Republicans that have moved on and starting to get elected and getting involved in these things. You talked about Senator Elliott.
Right.
Judge Hoyt in Baldwin County. Some of the people in Mobile County, Josh Woods. He's on the city council. Spiro, you know, Spiro's a young guy. Spiro's about, you know, a little bit younger than me. You talk about Ben Reynolds on the city council.
Yes.
So you're starting to see some of these people step into these next role. That next generation is starting to step up.
Right.
You know, City Council Tim Lauer over in Foley. You know,
Foley.
Tim,
yeah, he won his race.
He won his race. Ben Hughes just got reelected in Daphne. So there's that group of, I'm going to say 40s and a little bit under the 40s. You know, say 35 to 45. I'm 45, so I'm going to take the high end of that level.
Okay.
There's that group that's been active and trying to get around and doing things. When we were able to bring the National Young Republican Convention down to Mobile,
I remember that.
2013.
Right.
You know, there's this group that's about to take this step forward, and it's exciting to see, man. It's fun to watch, and it's exciting not just for this generation, but for that generation behind us.
Correct.
You know, my son is 17, and you start to see, okay, now they have teenage Republicans, and
right.
You know, the college Republicans are coming.
Right.
You know, some of this stuff of you look at people like Cliff Sims was involved in the Young Republicans, and he's working in the Trump administration.
And
you look at Jeff Poor locally was with the Young Republicans, and now he's with 1819 News, and everybody knows Jeff and his radio show on this channel on FM Talk 106.5.
True. So
you see different paths that people have taken and where they've been able to go into leadership positions, whether it's in politics or whether it's in administrations, and man, it's exciting to see.
Yeah, who was the other one? Griffin, remember? He from Mobile. He's in the administration too. He was just he's in the oil.
Wells Griffin.
Wells. Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that go way back in the Republican Party on some of this stuff.
Right.
So you know, it's awesome. It's great to see our time where people are stopping to say, hey, you know, wait, just sit this one out for a little bit. You know, you wait till your turn. It's not that time anymore. It's now. It's our turn
now.
And I'm excited to bring that next group forward and say, don't wait for us either. The more people that we get involved, the more groups that come out, the more people that can come in and see, hey, we care. Our generation cares too.
You know,
we're making decisions now. When you talk nationally or even on a statewide level, we're making decisions that don't affect us. We're making decisions that affect our kids. So we want people that are going to be affected by these decisions.
Right.
You don't want to be decided by 70 and 80-year-olds making all the decisions that come through this stuff. You want to be able to say, hey, look, this stuff affects you, and if you want to be able to buy a house or afford a house when you get out of college, come get involved. If you want to focus on making sure that affordable living is something that we have. It's something that we can do. If you want to, you know, that old rule of the three things about avoiding poverty of if you graduate from high school, get a job, and then wait till you're married till you have a kid, that almost eliminates you being in poverty.
Those three things
exponentially makes the difference for
that.
So to train up that next generation and to bring forward, I hate to keep pushing on this, but he deserves it. You know, Charlie Kirk, that's the message he was sending. That's what he was trying to do to show people of don't wait until you're 40 or 50 to come get involved in politics or to start thinking about this stuff, because some of these decisions that are being made right now will affect you and how you feel when you get out of school.
Now, Charlie Crist came up after you guys did. He was only 31 years old. He came up. Look how fast he rose.
He did. It's great to see. He's one of the most intelligent individuals I've ever seen.
That's
right. The way he would debate, the way he would go about getting his message out. You know, it's great. That Turning Point USA and what they're trying to do, what they're trying to create, that next generation of just giving all the information out there. Unfortunately, a lot of kids go to college and they don't get, you know, the fair and balanced facts that go through. They have an agenda. Some schools have an agenda and how they want to train people to think a different way than, you know, I'll just say it. Some of these liberal schools decide they want to create more liberals. And so kids aren't really being shown both sides of the coin. They're not being shown, hey, there's something about being conservative. There's something about having the general, what is the American dream? What did it used to be? What is traditional? And passing that along.
Right. You know what concerns me, Matt? In these universities, they have a lot of foreign professors and foreign students. okay? A lot. And I don't think they're vetting them before they come to this country. And once they get here, it's all about bad America.
Mm-hmm. You look at what
bad, you know?
You look at what happened in Columbia and Harvard and some of those schools on the East Coast where they're attacking students, attacking Jewish students, and won't let them go to school. And they're trying to tear the fabric of America down.
Right. They want us to get rid of our Constitution. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, folks, we're not going to allow that.
Nope.
We are going to, you know, I have a granddaughter in college now, you know. And I'll do whatever it takes to protect her against those folks who come to America. And they can't do it in their country what they do it here. You know, what they can do here. Mm-hmm. So they come in and I remember, you know, I spent 6 years in Africa as a DEA special agent. I spent 6 years in Brazil. And in Africa right now, especially in Nigeria, they are arresting people if they put something on the Facebook or X against the government. Mm-hmm. They're arresting them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
they're doing the same thing in the United Kingdom, in London.
In London,
they
yes.
The same thing with the comedian.
Right.
The guy gets arrested because he said a joke on Twitter.
Right, yeah. So that's why so many people are coming here, folks. But when they get here, they're not adhering to our policies, okay? And they're doing here what they can't do in their country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like President Trump, or I love Rubio, you know? Mm-hmm. We're going to get you out of here. We're going to send you back to all that mess that you came from.
Right. If you want to acclimate to our country and follow our rules and better yourself because of the American dream, that's one thing.
Right.
But if you're coming here because you want to destroy America from the inside out, you need to be sent away.
You need to be.
There's not another country in this world that would allow people to stay in. And for some people to think that, well, America should, that's just not right.
And I tell you another thing, Matt, that's happening in these colleges and universities, some of these foreign students come over and get involved with our American women and students, and some of them, they take them back to their country and they're treated like dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I remember, especially when I was in Nigeria, how many American women we had to rescue, because once they go back to their country, they find out that this person's married to three women. And I can tell you that's a fact.
Mm.
So, Matt, we got about less than a minute. I really appreciate you coming on.
Anytime. This is awesome. Look, when you call me and tell me to come on the show, I clear my schedule, do what I can to be here. You know, it's funny. This is just a conversation between you and I. There just happens to be a microphone and all the listeners listening to it.
Now, you're also running for re-election next year.
I am, and May 19th is the election date. I'm running for re-election to the House of Representatives, and looking forward to it. The campaign, you guys will see me out and try to see me everywhere because I'm going to be everywhere.
How can they get in touch with you and follow you?
I'm easy to get in touch with. I'll tell you, the best way you can follow me is I've got a Facebook page, I've got a Twitter page, I've got a Instagram page. I'm all over all of that stuff around social media. But I'll do this, and I'll do this on the air, and my wife will get mad, but my cell phone is 251-751-8535. You guys need anything, don't hesitate to give me a call.
Folks, you can call him and he will answer.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt, we appreciate it. We're going to have you on some more now. Okay?
You tell me when.
All right, folks, that's it for tonight. So until next week, you know, I always say, Vicon Deus, everybody.